It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A former Green Bay Packers star is the subject of a new podcast series looking at former NFL players who have joined a controversial extreme religious group.
Kabir Abajabiamila broke the Green Bay Packers' all-time career sack record in 2007 and was inducted into the team's Hall of Fame in 2013.
But after his playing career, he became heavily involved with a religious group called Straightway Truth Ministries and started leading his own branch of the ministry in the Green Bay area.
He and some of his followers separated from family members. Some have been arrested, raising concerns about what his group is preaching.
Kaylin Kaler is a senior NFL reporter for ESPN and a Wisconsin native. Her new podcast series about Abajabiamila and Straightway Truth Ministries is called Spiraled. Kaylin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, thanks, Kate.
So tell us about this religious group, Straightway Truth Ministries, that Kabir and other former players have gotten involved with. What makes them so controversial?
Yeah, so Straightway Truth Ministries is led by a man named Charles Dowell. He calls himself Pastor Dowell, and he is a former member of the Army. He was in the Army for about 10 years, and then he started preaching out of his own home, and then later became connected with a group called the Overcomer. They are kind of modeled around like community-style living. So Dowell encourages his followers to move onto a property, a Straightway property. They've got about 12 or so communities across the country and one in Canada. And he encourages members to move onto those properties where they, you know, are kind of living isolated lives. They grow their own food. They do a lot of training with weapons. So they're very into self-defense. They identify as a nation of Hebrew Israelites, which is the belief that Black people are the true Israelites of the Bible and not the Jewish people as we know them. So it's an inherently anti-Semitic viewpoint because it's, you know, you're claiming the identity of Jewish people if you believe in Hebrew Israelism. So it lends itself to a lot of, you know, hateful ideas and, you know, espousing misogynistic views, homophobic views, anti-Semitic views, anti-government views. They align a lot with the sovereign citizen ideology where, you know, you don't get a marriage license, you don't get a birth certificate for your children, you don't drive with license plates on your vehicle. And, you know, the life of a woman there, we've spoken to several of the wives or who are now ex-wives of the NFL players who joined in my podcast. I talked to Eileen Abajabiamila, who is now Eileen Bermundo Noyes, because she's remarried. But Eileen was not interested in joining this because, you know, she felt it was going to really change her life as a woman and the role that she would have in her marriage. Mm. And that's something that I heard from a lot of the women, because the women in Straightway have to cover their heads. They're not supposed to make eye contact with the men or speak unless they're spoken to. And so that is something that you see when you just look at Straightway's YouTube videos. You see that in the women that are portrayed in their videos.
Kabir starts a new family in his Straightway life. You talk with his ex-wife, Eileen, for the series. Does he have any relationship with that old life, so to speak, and his eight kids?
He really doesn't. And he's actually still never met his eighth child because Eileen was pregnant. She found out she was pregnant with their eighth child, which was another son. They have one girl and seven boys. She found out she was pregnant with him the year that Kabir really got into Straightway, and Kabir wanted to take the whole family there. And Eileen was like, absolutely not. We're not going. And then he said, well, fine, I'm taking the kids. If you don't want to go, I'll take the kids. And she's like, no, you're not going to take the kids. So ultimately, she actually had to secretly leave. She had to plan. And she describes this in our podcast series. She had to plan an escape route, essentially, because she felt like Kabir was going to go to Straightway, which is headquartered in Tennessee, and visit Straightway with their children. And she wasn't okay with that. She was not on board with this. And so she decided to kind of create an escape route. And so one day when Kabir went to Appleton for a business meeting, she had the kids leave their, they had Fitbits or something like a Fitbit, like a little tracker watch. She had them leave, take off their watches, leave them at the house so that Kabir wouldn't be able to see their location. And she and her seven children at the time, and at the time she didn't even know she was pregnant yet, they left and they went to Stevens Point to stay with a friend there and to stay at their house for the rest of the summer.
I wonder if you could step back for a moment. The podcast series is called Spiraled because of how players like Kabir start off okay, fine, slowly going deeper into religious extremism. How beloved was he in Green Bay during his playing career? And did his fellow players see this?
So Kabir was really a local hero. He was very involved in the community. He broke Reggie White's sack record in Green Bay, which is a big record. And so, you know, he's a well-known player. And he is actually one of the few players that stayed in Green Bay. You know, obviously Green Bay is it's the smallest NFL market. So a lot of players leave when their playing days are over, but Kabir actually stayed and he built a home there. And I think he was on the school board of his kid's private Christian school. And he was donated a lot of money to different causes in the community. And so he kind of built a reputation for himself. And when he was a player, his teammates, he had a different kind of reputation. He was very vocal about his Christianity, but in a different way than Reggie White was. Reggie White was also, you know, known as the Minister of Defense. And, you know, he played in Green Bay before Kabir, and Kabir really looked up to him. But Kabir was the player that if you were in the locker room, if you were a teammate of his, like, you kind of would avoid him in the locker room because you didn't necessarily want to get into a Jesus conversation. And I've talked to even reporters who covered Kabir during his playing days from 2000 to 2008 in Green Bay. And they tell similar stories of Kabir wanting to hand out religious pamphlets to them, wanting to turn every question, every conversation back to God. And you do hear that a lot in the NFL when you interview a player, especially post-game or pre-game. There's a lot of credit that goes to God and goes to evangelical Christianity is a really big influence on the NFL. But Kabir really took it further than most players would. And he was very judgmental of his teammates. I talked to several of his former teammates who, you know, said he would often comment on players who were going through divorces or who even just drank alcohol or, you know, went out and partied. These were things that he saw as being biblically wrong because he had a very black and white view on what was right and what was wrong. And there was no gray area with Kabir. It was this or that because, you know, he just really cared. He cared so much about all of his teammates being saved religiously that he would just take it. He would cross the line a lot of times in conversations with them.
We're talking with ESPN senior NFL reporter Kaylin Kaler about her new podcast series. It's about former Green Bay Packers star Kabir Bajabiamila and his involvement with a controversial extreme religious group. So Kabir, as you mentioned, remains active with spreading his religious message on his YouTube channel, where he says he's providing biblical solutions to real life challenges. Let's listen to a clip from a recent video where he talks about the isolation that has come from following his beliefs.
You know why the world can't hear me? Because I'm no longer belong to the world. When I was of the world heard me. Now they can't hear me anymore. That's why the Packers don't call me, because the Packers was part of the world. The people that I used to run with or fellowship with or whatever, they can't hear me anymore. Don't be mad when they don't want to fellowship with you and don't want to talk to you anymore. It's a good thing. That means it's a sign that you're walking in the right path.
What is Kabir's YouTube channel like, or how has it informed your podcast?
Yeah, so one of the interesting parts about reporting this is that, you know, Kabir did sit down with me for about 6 hours for the written story for Sports Illustrated that I did on this. But for the podcast, he didn't want to talk anymore. I had a few, you know, off the record conversations with him, and he just felt like there was nothing new for him to say because nothing had changed in what he believes and where he stands on things. And so the great thing about that is that you can go to his YouTube and you can get all of his thoughts. They're all right there for you. And there's almost like nothing more that you need to ask him because he's put it all out there. And he does love to say, like, the persecution that he feels he faces, where, you know, some of his former teammates really don't want to talk to him anymore. Everyone is very apprehensive about talking to him and even talking about him. I had a hard time getting former teammates to sit down for this podcast because they just don't really want anything to do with it because they're not sure what this group is about. They have a lot of questions, and there's some fear associated with it as well, because the whole reason I got into this story was a very strange incident that happened in December in 2019.
So 5 years ago, yeah, in Green Bay. Can you talk about that moment where, you know, two of Kabir's religious followers are arrested in Green Bay and what this was like at a Christmas pageant?
Yeah, it was super, super odd. And that's how I got turned on to the story. I saw the Green Bay Press Gazette wrote about it. And so essentially what happened is that Kabir no longer viewed Christmas as something he believed in. He thought it was a pagan holiday. So his kids participating in a Christmas show bothered him. And he made that known to the school's principal. His kids went to a Christian school in Green Bay. So he made that known in several phone calls with the school principal leading up to the Christmas show. And the principal said, you know, there's nothing I can do. Eileen wants the kids in it. The kids are going to be in it. Eileen, basically, the kids are living with Eileen. What do you want me to do? And so in one of those later phone calls, the day of the Christmas show, Kabir said to the school's principal, you know, because the school's principal had asked him if he was threatening him. And Kabir said, no, you don't need to worry about me. Black people don't shoot up schools. White people do. And so fast forward to that evening at the Christmas show, two men who are part of Straightway, who are both white men, show up in the church and in the audience. And they don't have kids in the show. And so the school's principal is very worried about that. He starts panicking. Well, what does this mean? What are they here for? And he remembers what Kabir said to him earlier that day. So he calls the police. The police end up arresting the two men for trespassing on the school's Christmas show. And Kabir shows up. He's not arrested, but he has conversations with the police officers. And then the police also discover, after searching the men, that they're both carrying weapons without a license to carry. Hmm. So that became a very scary moment for parents in that school community because, you know, imagine two strange men who don't have kids in the school showing up with guns, and you don't know what they're there for.
And what's interesting about that particular moment, I'm thinking there are no guns, there are no assault rifles in the pages of the Old Testament. If they follow the Bible literally, why are weapons in their ministry?
There's weapons because Dowell has decided that, and he has chosen scripture to support his reasoning. Straightway Truth Ministry is a really interesting group to follow because it is a total mashup of whatever Charles Dowell believes, and he will find scripture to support it. So one example I like to give is that they weren't always practicing polygyny, which is the practice of a man having more than one wife. They didn't always believe in that, but, you know, several years into the existence of Straightway, Dowell decided he believed in polygyny. And so he started introducing that to his to the Straightway members, to, they call them the saints. He started introducing that idea to the saints. And obviously there were many people who left because they didn't agree with that. But over time, he, you know, established a group that does believe in that and does want to practice that. And that was several people who have been part of Straightway told me that that was prompted because Dowell was interested in someone else's wife in the community, and he wanted to have a second wife. And so that's something that you know, Dowell being, particularly with the weapons, Dowell being in the army for 10 years, having trained in weapons training, I think that's just something that he believes in as a core philosophy of his. And it kind of goes hand in hand with their anti-government ideology. You know, they want to be trained in self-defense, and they're always saying this on YouTube, like, they're prepared if anyone wants to you know, start something with them. They want to be able to defend themselves.
What might Kabir's branch of the ministry be like in Green Bay?
Yeah, so in Green Bay, he has a giant, giant home. It has something like 22 bathrooms, I want to say, and probably a similar number of bedrooms. And they have a giant gym. They've got more than one house on the property. He built this property when he was an NFL player for the Packers, and he built it with ministry in mind. Originally, that was the Christian ministry, the evangelical Christian ministry. They wanted to be able to host pastors, host people who are coming into town for church-related events and things like that, and host fundraisers and, you know, kids over, sporting events, all of that. And what it's turned into now is the Straightway Truth Ministry branch in Green Bay. And so I don't know exactly how many people are living on the property, but if you watch Kabir's YouTube channel, that appears to be like a good number that are at least coming there and staying for the Sabbath, which they practice the Sabbath on Saturdays.
Would these be former NFL players? Who might they be?
They are, I think, just regular people. There's at least one former NFL player, TJ Clemmings, who used to play for the Vikings, who got interested in Straightway about 3 years ago and has a very similar story to Kabir. He was not a known player. He had a much less successful NFL career, but the first Straightway location that he visited, because he was in Minneapolis, was Kabir's in Green Bay, because that was, you know, geographically closest to him. I don't know if TJ lives there currently or if he's living on a different Straightway property, but he is pictured in some of Kabir's Facebook photos, and I've seen him in some of the videos, but I don't have any way of actually knowing if he lives there. But he is an ex-NFL player who became interested in Straightway after Kabir, and then Kabir was a mentor to him. And TJ now never met his triplets that were born a couple mm-hmm. years ago. They were born the year that he became interested in Straightway, and he's never met them because he is also now divorced from his wife and, you know, hasn't seen his five children since he decided to become interested in Straightway.
I wonder, you know, it seems like Green Bay has such a close-knit bond with players. Players develop a very close relationship with the city, perhaps because of its size. How does Green Bay feel about Kabir now?
Yeah, so at the time when I was reporting this in, you know, late 2019 and then the first half of 2020 when I first really started digging in on the story, there was a lot of apprehension because of what had just happened at that Christmas show. There was a lot of fear. You know, I met with two parents that had kids at the school, and we met at a local coffee shop, and they were really on edge, you could tell. And this was probably 2 weeks after the Christmas show incident had occurred. So it was very fresh. And I just felt like they were kind of whispering, because Green Bay is a small town and a lot of people know each other. And so they were, I think, very nervous to be speaking about their perspective on this. And I think Kabir actually has had his house on the market now for at least 2 years. And I don't know who is going to buy a property like that. That is a very unique place. And so I think he's had trouble selling it. But when I spoke to him for the Sports Illustrated story in 2020, he talked a lot about how he wants to leave Green Bay because he feels that people judge him now. And he feels he's always felt that he's experienced racism there. And he feels like now, especially because he's part of that, especially because he's left, you know, the most acceptable form of religion, which is, you know, evangelical Christianity, which is, you know, often aligned with predominantly white demographic, he feels, you know, he's been ostracized a little bit. And you could hear that in that clip you played from his YouTube.
Kaylin, thank you for joining us and for sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks so much for wanting to talk about Spiral. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, iHeart Media, and anywhere you get your podcasts, like Spotify as well.
Kaylin Kaler is a senior NFL reporter for ESPN. She was with us to share her new narrative podcast series called Spiraled, about former Green Bay Packers player Kabir Bajabiamila's involvement in a controversial extreme religious group here in Wisconsin.